I'm Bridie Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, the far left strategy for defeating two common sense initiatives is starting to come into focus. Plus, Governor Bob Ferguson focuses on utter nonsense while big projects falter, and Joe Kent facing an FBI probe. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, friends, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. What do you do when you're fighting against a force that has no morality, no red line that it won't cross, no bottom? That's a real question that we face in states like Washington, where you have, I think, people who have common sense and generally want to do the right thing, and you have so many of these 80-20 issues, yet you know, the people in power are focused on fighting against them, and you feel like you just can't make any traction. Well, that's because you have a moral compass. That's because for most of us, we won't tell lies. We have a bottom. We have a line we won't cross. And that creates a very difficult environment for what I think is the silent majority, for people with common sense. How do we fight for what's good and right when the other side has no bottom? And that's what's shaping up right now in the fight to pass two common sense initiatives in November. Of course, Let's Go Washington. And these kind of, I think, we focused a lot on what was happening in the legislative session this year around income taxes, et cetera. So there was a little bit of a two-month lull in discussing these initiatives. And now that they're heading toward the ballot, I think that we'll bring that back in earnest. But there's the initiative to protect girls' sports. No boys and girls sports, 80-20 issue nationally, common sense stuff. And then there's the initiative to once again try to restore parental rights in education. So just because you send your kid to a public school doesn't mean you don't have a right to know what's going on in their lives. So this is going to be a major fight between now and November. There is going to be a lot of money dumped into this, certainly from the left. I pray to God some people on the right can dig deep into their pockets and help combat some of the lies that are going to be told. But we're getting a look at the cabal of left-wing extremists and organizations that are uniting together, that are organizing very quickly and raising a lot of money in the process to defeat these two initiatives. So they've rebranded, which is interesting. Remember, they were calling themselves WA Families for Freedom. Now they're calling themselves No Hate in Washington State. And they're remaking their website and all their literature on this. And it's got elected officials who are supporting the effort. And then it has a whole bunch of organizations that are endorsing this effort. No Hate in Washington State. And some of the organizations we are very familiar with. And we know that when it comes to these organizations, as I alluded to earlier, there is no line they won't cross. There's no bottom for them. There's no morality there. And that creates a very difficult opponent. So one of them, two of them, Team Child and Oasis, you'll be, if you watch this show, very familiar with these two organizations. These are organizations that not only push radical gender ideology, they proactively seek to separate kids from their parents. We told the story of Eleanor, a 16-year-old who is still missing to this day. Parents don't know if she's dead or alive because her counselor in the Puyallup School District helped radicalize her behind her parents' back. They sent her to Oasis Youth Center, where she was connected with resources, gave her a list of places she could get gender-affirming care, etc., did it all behind her parents' back. They even helped her get an attorney from Team Child, which took her parents to court, ended up getting replaced with a homeless outreach advocate who she literally met on the street, despite no evidence of abuse in the home. So Oasis Youth Center and Team Child, those are two of the entities that are now part of this left-wing cabal that is seeking to defeat these two initiatives. Another one, Washington Education Association, the most powerful force in the state of Washington, more powerful even than the governor or the attorney general or the superintendent of public instruction, because what they say goes. in Democratic circles. What they say goes in left-wing circles. And what do we know about the Washington Education Association? Well, we know the Washington Education Association has absolutely no tie to reality, and they have no interest in educating your kids. All they have an interest in is pushing their radical ideology on kids. And according to some of their meetings that were recorded for our benefit, they don't even know what biology is.
I think there is the misunderstanding in the public that there's a scientific consensus on the definition of biological sex. Unless I'm going to breed people and see if they have babies, outside of that, there's not really a consensus on biological sex. So there's not like a serum test, you test. There's not a, I can eyeball your genitals and tell what sex you are. Mm-hmm. I can't even look at your chromosomes necessarily and tell what sex you are. I'd have to like sequence you, and then still it would be kind of as you define it. So sex ends up being really a more of a social and philosophical construct than a hard biological construct.
All of this aside, if you just heard that clip cold, I'd be like, whatever team they're on, I'm on the other team. Like, automatically. So those are the people who make up the Washington Education Association. That's the mindset. Oh, I couldn't even sequence your genome and understand what your gender is, what your biological sex is. And so no surprise, really, that they are supporting and they're going to put an awful lot of money behind, again, not only the initiative to protect girls' sports and keep boys out of girls' sports, but also, and I think, you know, more profound, is that you have this teachers' union who is, again, once again, proactively part of the effort to separate kids from parents and to say, no, parents don't have a right to know what's going on in their kids in with their kids in education. Another one of the organizations on this list in this left-wing cabal, Fuse Washington. Now, when I say at the beginning, no morality, no bottom, no care or concern for telling the truth, Fuse Washington is the epitome of this. They will lie. They will resort to the dirtiest of tricks, things we would never imagine doing, that common sense people would never even imagine doing. For instance, back in 2024, when Let's Go Washington was running a bunch of initiatives, what did Fuse Washington do? Well, they set up snitch lines, and they sent out minions to go out there and harass lawful signature gatherers who were being assaulted, who were being spit at, and all of these things. And Fuse Washington didn't care because there's no dirty trick that they won't resort to. There's no low that's too low. And they're willing to just tell flat out lies to rile up their base. They just sent out an email to their supporters about recapping the legislative session. Oh my God. I mean, Nicole counted like 50 lies in this thing. Just flat out lies. One of the things they said, our work and the voices of activists like you were so powerful that right-wing actors resorted to trying to cheat and beat us. They used AI tools to fraudulently sign tens of thousands of people's names in opposition to the tax. There's no proof of that. There's literally no proof of that. And I think there's an investigation going on because some individuals were signed in who said they didn't sign in opposition to the millionaire's tax. But I said, and we did a big long segment on this, there's more evidence that it was the other side that did it to make it look like the right had committed some sort of fraud. But according to Fuse, which has no morality whatsoever, no care or concern for the truth, they just say, yeah, the right did this using AI tools. I mean, completely making it up. So, I mean, what do we do in a situation like this? Because I personally have no choice but to tell the truth. It's kind of part of my job. And I don't think that you guys or Let's Go Washington would ever stoop to levels this low. I don't think you'd ever go out there and say, hey, go harass the other side. If you see no hate in Washington State set up somewhere, go harass them, yell at them, assault them, spit on them. You know, send out emails. Let's Go Washington isn't going to send out emails to hundreds of thousands of people on their email list with flat out lies. So this is a very difficult cabal to fight against, and they know it. So a few things that they're saying, again, flat out lies on the No Hate in Washington State website. So one of the things they're doing is they're rebranding the initiatives. They're giving their own titles to the initiatives. So Initiative 26-001, which is the Parental Rights and Education Initiative, they're calling it the Repealing the Safety Act and Increasing Risks of Abuse Initiatives. Okay. So they're going through this lie that they've told before that basically, you know, not all parents are good parents. And we've got to just protect these kids. It says, while most parents are loving and supportive, the sad reality is not all kids are safe at home. And they need to turn to a trusted teacher or school counselor for help. Yeah, like Eleanor did. Turn to a trusted counselor who helped radicalize her and now she's been missing for almost 3 months. Wow, you really helped her out, didn't you? So it goes in and it talks about IL-26-001 removes protections for abused children. No, it doesn't. Abuse is against the law. It's always been against the law. It will continue to be against the law. What you want to do is make sure that a kid can go to school and be transed, and that a kid can go to school and use a different name or have everyone refer to them as a different gender, and you can send them to gender clinics and you can send them to an attorney, and the parents will never know a thing about it. And how many stories do we have to do on this show to prove that's exactly what they're doing? I mean, I think back 4 years ago, it must have been 3-4 years ago, where we did a story on the Olympia School District where a teacher's talking to a kid. It was like a fifth grader or something, via email, telling them, hide these emails from your parents or you'll be outed as transgender. Parents were so freaked out about it, they moved back to India, literally left the country over it. So what they want is to liken maybe not supporting your child's desired gender to physically beating your kid. In the eyes of these teachers, and in the eyes of these radicals, that's the same thing. If you won't call your boy a girl, well, you might as well be beating them senseless. So they're going to continue to push this lie that, oh my gosh, if we restore parental rights, then this is going to lead to more child abuse. Because we're just going to send these kids, we're going to call the parents and tell them, oh, your child thinks they're transgender, and the kid's going to go home, they're just going to get beat senseless. It's insane. So they're legislating, and this is really the issue, a lot of things in Washington state. They want to legislate to the lowest common denominator. They want to assume, the assumption is, all parents are bad. That's the rule, not the exception. And I, for one, have a profound problem with that, because, of course, it's not true. So the other one, we already know what the lie is going to be on the protecting girl sports that they've rebranded it to. Wait for this one. Invasive genital exams on girls to play sports initiative. It's just insane. So they are, oh my gosh, so they're continuing this invasive genital exam thing. And why wouldn't they? Because the media's picked it up. The Seattle Times paired this talking point completely uncritically, that if we require you to play in the sport that aligns with your biological gender, that any moment your child could be asked to strip naked in front of an adult and be subjected to invasive genital exams. So it goes on, it says, medical sex certification. Washington State sports physicals do not require sex testing because, according to the American Academy of Family Physicians, sports physicals should focus on life-threatening conditions like heart, bone, and lung issues. And that's true. We're not saying that these physicals require sex testing. Nobody is saying your kid has to get a blood draw or has to have their DNA sequenced. It says physical exams of girls' reproductive organs may require pelvic exams, which are not only medically unnecessary for sports, they can emotionally and physically harm young girls. Every child in America that goes to a pediatrician, their pediatrician has seen their genitals. I hate, if that's a shock to you as a parent, I would ask why you're not going to the appointments with your child. Every child in America that has a pediatrician, that pediatrician knows their biological gender, and they've seen their genitals before. And I hate to say this, they also saw their genitals the moment they were born. From the moment your child was born, doctors have seen their genitals. And they're trying to turn it into this scary, sick thing. So are you saying that doctors are pedophiles? Are you saying that licensed medical professionals, pediatricians, can't be trusted to do genital exams? Because then we've got a big problem, right? Then who can be trusted to do genital exams? Because as we've already disproven this lie easily, the Seattle Times also peddled this lie. We got a copy of a student physical form in the North Shore School District. This is the basic form that students who want to compete in sports and athletics in public schools has to compete. Has a list of things that the doctor's going to check. One of those things, genitalia. And I'll tell you what, that doctor's going to be able to know real quick what your sex is, what your biological gender is. Because it's not rocket science. It's not like the WEA said, something where you've got to try to sequence a genome and figure it all out. And you guys aren't dumb. You know that. And then, of course, the bigger issue is the initiative doesn't call for genital exams. It doesn't call for invasive genital exams to prove your gender. It says utilize the doctor your child's already going to, and they just have to sign off that it's a biological boy or a biological girl. It says a student who elects to participate in individual or team competition activities intended for female students only shall provide, as part of the required routine sports physical examination, a health examination and consent form or other statement signed by the student's personal health care provider that verifies the student's biological sex. There it is. So they can rely on reproductive anatomy, genetic makeup, anything that they want to do, whatever they're most comfortable with. But I think the easiest way is for your child's pediatrician, who already is seeing your child. You're supposed to get a well exam every year, according to the State Department of Health and the American Academy of Pediatrics. Kids are supposed to, as adults are, supposed to get a well exam, regular checkup every year. And they can just say, yeah, this is a girl. Of course it is. And of course, they're going to be bound to tell the truth. You can't just lie, because then you'd be breaking the law. So they're out there, people with, I mean, this is like, and I hate, no, I don't hate to use this comparison. It's like a country like the United States fighting a dictatorship or fighting someone, going to war with someone like North Korea or Iran or Russia or China. Like North Korea and Iran and Russia and China, they'll murder their own citizens. They're willing to let their own citizens starve to death. They're willing to accept any consequence of war. In the United States, not so much. And I'm not saying the United States doesn't do things in war that maybe people disagree with. But for instance, it wouldn't let the people of the United States starve to death or whatever it is as a consequence of war. So those become very difficult enemies to fight against where they have no line. And so I don't know what the answer is here, because I don't think the answer is when they go low, we go lower. I don't think the answer is when they tell lies, we tell lies. So we're going to have to win with the truth. And sometimes the truth is the hardest thing to win with. And it's going to take a lot of you getting involved over the next 6 months or so. I have a really hard time doing math. April, May, June, July, August, September, October, 8 months. It's going to take a lot of you getting involved, talking to, and the conversations are going to be the most important. Sharing good, truthful information on social media, having face-to-face conversations with friends, families, and neighbors when you see them parroting one of these lies about invasive genital exams or risks of abuse, politely correcting them, pointing to them to information that can help them make a more informed decision. People are going to have to cough up cash to help Let's Go Washington with the initiatives. And then we already know there's going to be a third initiative, I'm pretty sure, to repeal the income tax, which is going to suck a lot of air out of the room. But we've put so much energy and effort into especially the Protecting Girls Sports initiative that we don't want to see it be pushed aside. We want to make sure that we have attention, coverage, focus, energy on all of these things as we battle this left-wing cabal from hell. Left-wing cabal from hell of just sad sack evil liars. And that's the truth. All right. Is that too mean for a show called Undivided?
It's allowed.
That's fine.
It's true.
It's the truth. It's the truth. All right. Bob Ferguson focused on only the most important things. We'll discuss that coming up next. First, could the future of AI impact your retirement portfolio? Are you concerned about AI, crypto, tech? Should I be invested? Should I not be invested? What's going on in Iran? That's going to be a big topic of conversation during Bulwark Capital Zach Abraham's free live webinar coming up on April 2nd at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. It is called his Cutting Through the Market Noise live webinar. During it, they have a full schedule. They're going to help you cut through the market noise, talk about those things I mentioned, AI, crypto, tech. I also chatted with Zach last week, and he said, you know, Iran oil prices is also going to be a big factor in what they discuss. And of course, they'll always talk about the real fundamentals of value investing and how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. So join Zach's Cutting Through the Market Noise webinar, April 2nd, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, totally free. You can register right now at knowyourriskpodcast.com. And if you can't make it, schedule your own personalized Know Your Risk portfolio review and subscribe to Zach's daily market recap at knowyourriskpodcast.com. All right. So Governor Bob Ferguson is focused on utter nonsense while our state careens toward economic collapse and while we have some big problems with some big projects. So case in point, he had a press conference at the end of the session where he was asked this.
What was your personal favorite bill that passed the legislature this session?
Oh, man,
I don't get a press pass. And those are the kind of journalists that are in the room. And not that I can't go to Governor Ferguson's press conferences. I think this one happened during the show. But, like, this is what I'm up against. They won't let me have a press pass. And you have reporters who are asking the governor, with that precious time they have, what's your favorite bill that passed this legislative session? All right, let's hear what he says.
What was your personal favorite bill that passed the legislature this
time? Oh, man, the bill on banning masks for law enforcement.
Oh, my God.
Including ICE.
Your favorite bill this session was a bill that does nothing? Your favorite bill this session was a bill built on a lie? Your favorite bill for an entire session was a bill that you say is going to prohibit ICE agents from wearing masks when it won't? Because you can't control what federal agents wear on the job? The virtue signaling. I mean, I get him doing it for virtue signaling purposes, but to say that that was the favorite thing that you accomplished the entirety of the legislative session
over
is
the millionaire's
absolutely
tax
embarrassing.
That he was
so,
like, so
well, you can't say that, right?
Can't say that.
Wow. So he's also focused on celebrating this very important thing that he did this session. He said, last year we announced the Department of Health is processing all requests to change gender designation on birth certificates within 3 business days, down from as much as a 10-month wait. This week I signed a bill ensuring Washingtonians can change the sex designation on their private state IDs and birth certificates without fear of violating their privacy. Washington State is committed to protecting the rights of transgender and gender diverse people. That includes their legal right to reflect their gender on these documents. Okay, so first of all, I remember us talking about this. The only time government works quickly, government works at a snail's pace. But if you want to change the gender on your birth certificate, we'll do that in 3 days' time. And I thought Democrats were complaining right now about how hard it is to get an ID. And that's why we can't pass the SAVE Act. It's like, well, in Washington State, they can get you an ID lickety-split, and they can even change the gender on your birth certificate in 3 days. In the name of radical gender ideology, government can move at a lightning pace. And it's just like, this is what you're focused on. Because, of course, what they want to do is make it more difficult for the federal government to basically force you to have your biological sex, your true sex, on your passport. Because they're going to be able to present a birth certificate that says man if you were born a woman, or woman if you were born a man. And this is from the party of science. So they want to erase, essentially, any record of your true biological sex so that the federal government under Trump can never know it for sure. And that you can, so that you can participate, you know, against girls in sports, I guess. Oh, all my documents say I'm a woman when I see you and you're clearly not a woman. So that's what he's focused on. Meanwhile, we have crises going on in the state of Washington. We have businesses fleeing every single day and millionaires fleeing every single day since the House and Senate passed the income tax. Bob Ferguson doesn't seem too eager to comment on all of that. And then we've got this. I-5 bridge replacement project costs could run over $14 billion, says new official estimate. So, of course, there's this I-5 bridge between Vancouver, Washington, and essentially Portland that needs to be replaced. And I'm not arguing that it needs to be replaced. It says the latest full cost estimate was released on Tuesday. The core cost of the replacement is expected to be $7.65 billion. But the total project could run up the price to nearly twice that amount. So not only is it way over budget, but it's being delayed exponentially. It says, although the project was initially slated to start later this year, the group now estimates that it will break ground in 2028. It was previously scheduled to be completed in 2034, but now it isn't expected to be done until 2045. The expected cost jumped from $3.6 billion earlier in January this year to more than double the previous estimate of $6 billion. Absolutely insane. So this is from City Observatory, just to give you a better visual. So the initial estimate was $4.8 billion, and it was just made in 2020. And then by 2022, they said, it's looking like $7.5 billion. This latest estimate, $17.7 billion, up from $4.8 billion. And they're delaying it by 10 years. Sounds an awful lot like the time that they tried to drill a deep bore tunnel under downtown Seattle, and eventually they got it done, but way over cost, way over budget. The government can never complete a project on time in these blue states. So anyway, Governor Ferguson talked about, like, okay, you know, we know that we're way over budget and way, way delayed, but it's got to be done.
Replacing this 109-year-old bridge with a modern structure is essential to Washington and Oregon. It's critical for our economy, it's critical for public safety, and it's critical for the thousands of good-paying jobs that come with this project.
Yeah, I love how they always, that's not an excuse. Having a project because it'll create jobs is never a reason to do a project. Like, I love jobs, I want people to go to work, but I'd rather they not have an additional 10 years of jobs that wasn't even necessary because the project is 10 years delayed. And also, what's the incentive? So you get all these union workers on there, Democrats expand the time frame, and they don't have any incentive to work quickly. They don't have any incentive to get it done on time and on budget. And these organizations that contract with the state to do this kind of work. And why? Because it's a government project, and no matter what, they'll do it. So it's not like it could get to $100 billion, like the train tracks to nowhere or whatever that's happening in California, the high-speed rail. They'll still do it because it's your money, not their money. And they know that, so it doesn't matter at all. So what is Bob Ferguson blaming for this massive cost overrun?
Not surprisingly, costs have gone up since our last projection several years ago. This estimate reflects rising costs due to inflation and cost increases in the construction industry.
What? First of all, inflation is a thing, but when you budget a project, you budget for inflation. When you budget a project, you factor in that costs increase over time. And last I checked, yes, inflation got pretty bad during the pandemic, but not 130%. That would have been quite a story. And why do you think that construction costs have increased so much, Governor Ferguson? It's because of things that Democrats have done in both Oregon and Washington state that have driven up construction costs. And Lord only knows how much of that in there is environmental costs that are wrapped into it because of things that former Governor Jay Inslee did. But this is the true issue. These projects should never be public projects. And I know that one of the core functions of government is supposed to be infrastructure. But I think in too many places, like Washington State, like California, they've shown they cannot be trusted with infrastructure projects. I think that they should be run and paid for by private companies. And then, yes, private companies can put a toll. Whatever it is, we'd still end up paying less as taxpayers. I don't know how you'd work that out. But at the end of the day, if it's a government project, there is no limit to it. And it's not like they can get halfway done and say, oh, well, you know, people are mad about this, so we just got to stop. No, we need the bridge there. Absolutely insane. And speaking of California, this is probably a prime example of this. So in California, they're trying to build this wildlife bridge. And shock of the century, it's not done yet. And it's so weird, though, because it comes from this like mountainous area right into the city. And they say it's for like cougars and stuff and mountain lions. Why do you want the mountain lions to have a bridge into the city?
Right, and
that doesn't make any sense.
When it flips around,
play it again.
I'll do it again. But when it flips around, you see that there's a road right on the bottom of it. So if the see that road,
yeah.
So if the animals cross to avoid the freeway, and then they just immediately hit a road,
it's
going to
go over that road as well. I'm assuming because that looks like an off ramp or an on ramp or some sort of like adjacent street. The other thing, this is from City Journal. So this thing right now, way over budget, they project it might cost $114 million by the time it's all done.
That's insane.
To build a bridge for animals to cross over.
Why not just build a fence? Say, stay on the safe side.
Just don't run over here. And here's the other thing. It says the overpass was made for, quote, everything from monarch butterflies to mountain lions. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Can't the butterflies fly? Why is a butterfly good? Can't they fly?
Well, yeah, but I think they fly kind of low, so you do hit. They get hit by cars, but
you think that they'll say, "Oh, there's a bridge. They're gonna fly. Just fly over the interstate." What? Like literally, what am I missing?
I don't remember hating a lot of butterflies on the freeway because they probably like the wind from the cars probably keeps them off the freeway, right? So they're fine.
They're fine. I'm sorry. They're not gonna be like, "Hey, the bridge is a mile up. Let's just cross over the bridge." Utterly stupid. So the original projection was already bad. It was $92 million to put this bridge over for butterflies and mountain lions. Now they think it's going to be $21 million over budget, right? And even Washington State can do better than that. So I drive underneath every single day a little animal, what do you call it?
Bridge.
Animal crossing, yes. And in Washington State, we did ours for $6 million. $6 million. And theirs is going to cost $114 million. And by the way, like animals don't even use ours. Isn't that like a notorious thing? Animals don't even use it. And so it's really $6 million for nothing. Even Colorado did better.
When they do it, like, makes the news.
Yeah. Oh, there was a sighting of an animal using the animal bridge. Even Colorado did better. Colorado built a wildlife overpass for $15 million. And they say that one in Colorado, this is from Benji Becker, that they estimate that it would pay for itself in 5 years because of the avoided collisions. Because this was like an area where the animals were all the time. Now, I don't know if that's actually going to happen. I don't know if that's true. But $114 million for an animal overpass when Colorado did it for 15, Washington State did it for 6, is absolutely insane. But it just shows you, it's like there's no limit to these things. And they can do it well when they need to. You remember when the I-5 bridge collapsed? I gave Governor Inslee at the time so much credit for this because, man, they came in there and they had a temporary bridge replacement up, lickety split. If they need to do it fast, they can do it fast. But they're milking this for union jobs and all of these things. It's absolutely insane. All right, we'll get to our segment Unbelievable coming up next. First, if you are a small to mid-sized landlord, in fact, we're going to talk about housing policy in the next segment. Housing policy just gets crazier and crazier in Washington State. So you want to make sure you have someone on your side. That is the Rental Housing Association of Washington. They are Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. So they do a few things, serve a few purposes. They have a lobbying element where they're down in Olympia lobbying for good and advocating for good housing policy. They can work with you on an individual basis, try to navigate the market, new rules and regulations. And then if you're just interested in housing policy in general, you can attend any of their events across the state. They're actually pretty fun. I've been to a few of them and spoke at a few of them about how the media covers housing policy. And you don't even have to be a member to go to those, but you can check out their events at rhawa.org, rhawa.org. All right. With that, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. The government wants to control how you sell your home. This is scary stuff, and I think this is just the beginning of a process that will get even worse and more costly for homeowners. And I actually think it might eventually be weaponized to try to keep people from leaving the state. So Thurston County becomes the first county in the nation to mandate that your home undergoes an energy assessment before you can sell it. So they're going to require in Thurston County that you have a home energy assessment done and your home is given a home energy score, which I can't decide if this is just to get money for now or if it's something more nefarious. So here's what the home energy score entails. So it says a home energy score is a tool that helps home buyers understand the full cost of home ownership, including energy costs. The HES provides a whole home efficiency rating from 1 to 10. It estimates the home's annual energy costs and provides a list of recommended upgrades to lower energy bills and make the home more comfortable. Now it says this policy would not require any energy improvements to be made. So you wouldn't have to actually, if you get the assessment done, which you'd be mandated to get the assessment done, which you're going to have to pay for, by the way, and the cost is around $150 to $350. So add that cost to all the other costs associated with selling your home. So they come in, they do the assessment, they give it a score 1 to 10, and then they make these recommendations for what you could do to make the score better. Okay, so it's saying, but it doesn't mandate before you sell the home that you fix those things. But think about what's going to happen for home sellers. They're going to give you an energy score, and they're going to give you a list of things that can be done to be improved. And you're going to have that be part of the listing. So what is a seller, what is a buyer going to do? Well, buyers are going to start to demand that as part of the sale, you fix all these weird things to make it more energy efficient. Just because it's a list of things that they're saying, oh, well, your energy score is low, so I'm going to offer you less, or I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And you don't think that they're eventually going to mandate that you fix these things? Of course they are. They're gonna implement it this way, and then they're gonna start mandating that before you sell your home, you have to have an energy score of at least 7. So you're gonna have to go in there and fix all of these things. I give it 2 years before they make that a requirement. And it's just government overreach at its worst. You should be able to sell your home in any freaking condition you want to sell your home in. You should be able to sell it with an energy score of 0 and a big hole in the roof. Somebody wants to buy it, no big deal. It's just absolutely insane. It's just another thing that is making Washington State a place where people don't want to move, a place where people don't want to live. And then they're going to find out if a millionaire owns the home.
And then they're going to never give you an energy score above 7, so you can never leave, so they can continue to get your tax revenue and you can't flee over the millionaire's tax. All right, we've got a doozy of a story in our double dose of unbelievable. Boop. I don't even know what to make of this. So I got sent this picture by a student at Puyallup High School yesterday. And it is a picture taken in an art class. Here's what's on the wall. And I know we've got a response from the school, so we're going to get to that momentarily. What the hell is this? So it clearly depicts President Trump in a bunch of different ways. As a pig. So the one in the middle there has President Trump depicted as a pig. And there's a flag above that that says assassination, question mark. And then if you zoom in, you'll see it's supposed to be President Trump's hair, like on the word assassination. There's also President Trump depicted, if you look to the far right, as a member of the KKK with a little hood on. It says, "Yes, we Klan." President Trump depicted as a creepy McDonald's clown. There's also some stuff I'm not able to make out, and I've asked maybe for more high-res images, but there's a photo right above President Trump as a pig that shows nooses, and I'm very concerned with what that says. There's also a picture that appears to show President Trump mostly nude, and this is in a public school in Washington State. So we reached out to the Puyallup School District, which has been at the center of a lot of our stories as of late. I used to think Puyallup was a sane place. And they basically just said, thanks for reaching out. We've received your inquiry, are working on a response. So they know this is there. And come on, everyone knows it's there. How long has that thing been up? And nobody until now said anything about it. And look, people, you know, it's an art class. I get it. Art can be provocative. But this is a public school. And there are limitations. And when you have a president who was almost successfully assassinated, and when you have a political climate like this, and you're depicting him as a pig with assassination, depicting him as a member of the KKK with an image nearby of nooses, this is absolutely unacceptable. There's no room for this in a public school environment. I mean, you would never allow the opposite. They would never allow some sort of montage like that that showed a Democratic president like Biden, mostly nude, and Biden, you know, with assassination. They would never allow it. So we want to know from the school district, is this a student assignment or is this something the teacher put up? To me, it looks like maybe a class assignment and they all contributed something to it. That's what my gut is telling me. But it doesn't matter. What was the assignment then? What was the prompt? Depict President Trump in any way you see fit or whatever it is, and then we're going to put it up on the wall? How long has it been there? And is it coming down? Because clearly somebody thought that this was concerning enough to take a picture and send it to us. So I have to imagine that they're not the only ones who were made uncomfortable by it. So I get it that kids don't lose their ability to have free speech when they enter a classroom, but I was looking at the Puyallup handbook and speech that disrupts the learning environment is not allowed. And I'm sorry, if you walk into that as a student whose parents support Donald Trump or as a student who supports Donald Trump, that would disrupt my learning environment. So it's absolutely unacceptable. We'll let you know what the Puyallup School District has to say. And if they get back to us while we're on the air, we'll definitely read that for you. All right. Joe Kent gave his interview with Tucker Carlson. I have thoughts about it. We'll play a clip in particular that people have been talking quite a bit about. First, if you are thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. And if you're in Thurston County, at least for the time being, you don't have to get a home energy score in order to sell your home. Preston, who's an undivided viewer and listener, said he was super satisfied with the service that Wes provided and also how Wes made him feel throughout the process.
He works out of East King County, so he deals with multi-million dollar homes. My house is not anywhere near what he sells, but he made it feel like I was one of his biggest clients. I had some really stupid questions, I felt like, and ChatGPT couldn't answer them, so I felt like I was a moron reaching out to Evie sometimes, and she had a lot of grace with her answers. So just him, the way he puts you at ease, the way he treats you like the most important client, and just his whole staff, how helpful they are.
Yeah, I love that. We hear that about Wes, too. And Wes is a friend of ours, and he is just a great guy. And we hear that from all of his clients, that he makes them feel like they're his only client and the most important thing that he has to do on any given day. So if you're, and especially in high stress, he deals with a lot of people who are leaving the state and who won't even wait till their house sells. They just flee the state and they're like, now I got to sell my house. And he's dealt with a lot of those, and that could be a really stressful situation. And so Wes can talk you through, you know, the best way to go about it. So go from Sell with Wes to Sold with Wes. Go to his website. You can browse some of the listings that he's had up and sold and how they performed, etc. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is, I've got to say, a better way to sell your home. And if one day I get the opportunity to flee the state of Washington after I retire, I shall sell with Wes. Sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. All right, national news. So now Joe Kent is under FBI investigation. Of course, the former Washington State congressional candidate who was the head of counterterrorism at the for the Trump administration. So he resigns earlier this week, says he didn't agree with the decision to attack Iran, said Iran posed no imminent threat. And then the White House came out and said, well, he hadn't been briefed on Iran and he'd been kept out of briefings because we suspected him of leaking information. So now this is from the New York Times. FBI investigates Joe Kent, whose resignation over Iran war angered Trump, which is such a weird headline, because did it anger Trump? I mean, Trump gave a statement about it. He's like, I don't know. I didn't know him very well. I thought he was a nice guy.
Oh, I've seen Trump behind the scenes. He wasn't happy about
The
way that he went out criticizing his stance. But
well, and especially during the midterms where it's like, come on, dude.
Right.
Like, you're just giving the left fuel here. But I've said, I had Joe Kent in the studio when he was running for Congress the second time in Washington's 3rd District. I found him to be a nice, honest guy. But then I watched this interview he did with Tucker Carlson. And okay, play the clip that everybody's talking about.
I wasn't particularly close with Charlie. He was very gracious to me when I was running for Congress, very, very supportive. So we knew each other. And the last time I saw Charlie Kirk on this earth was in June in the West Wing, in the stairway. And I said hi to him and he looked me in the eye and he said very loudly, and it's a small, you've been in the West Wing, it's small, it's a tight space. And he said, Joe, stop us from getting into a war with Iran.
I'll take things that didn't happen for 500, Alex. I'm sorry. Does anyone believe that happened? And I'm really sick of people using Charlie Kirk to justify their positions now, saying, oh, he told me this, he texted me this. It's happening so much on the right. Is there a possibility he said that to him? I would like someone else. He said it very loud. I would like someone else who was in the West Wing to confirm that Charlie Kirk, in fact, said, Joe Kent, who he barely knew, don't let us go to war with Iran. I have such a hard time believing that. But also, this whole thing is like, what the chicken and the egg? What came first? Did he disagree with Trump on Iran? Or was he under suspicion of leaking and knew he was going to be investigated by the FBI? And so he wanted to get out in front of it and seem like he did this really courageous thing. I don't know the answer to that. And I see a lot of conservatives breaking on this issue. But gosh, don't lose sight of what's happening with the midterms. And I don't. Dissent is fine. If there's a conservative, there's a lot of conservatives who've dissented with Trump on Iran. That doesn't bother me. War is a big deal. War is a big thing. War costs lives, as we've seen. But there's just too many suspicious things about the timing of this, what was going on behind the scenes, where I have a hard time feeling like it's genuine.
And just running to Tucker.
And running to Tucker, who's gone off the deep end. All right, let's do one more thing before we get to Florida Report. I really appreciated, I didn't pull this clip, but J.D. Vance, Vice President Vance, was speaking to a crowd. And he just said, like, hey, guys, I know gas prices are high right now. And I know it's tough. He's like, it's going to be a temporary situation, acknowledges it's because of what's happening in Iran, that gas prices have gone up across the country. And to me, I'm like, was that so hard? Like, presidents will never do that. And political parties will never say, yeah, something we've done has raised gas prices. And that when it's just very clear, right? And so I feel like that's the first time I've ever seen a politician do that and just level with people. Like, hey, this is going to hurt for a little bit, but this is a temporary, we're going to get it back down. We know it's because of Iran. Let's move forward. What an honest broker. I loved that. Mm-hmm. And then there's Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, who represents the Seattle area where gas prices are always high because of our climate policies and taxes. She said this.
You know, this morning I went online and I looked at what gas prices are in my home state of Washington. Over $6 for regular unleaded. And over $6 for diesel and over $5 for regular unleaded. And that is an increase of over almost a buck before just in the last couple of weeks.
But still not as high as it was under the Biden administration. Still haven't reached those peaks that we reached under the Biden administration. And she didn't say anything during that. She didn't say anything about it. And also, the reason it's so high in Washington state is because of our taxes. The average today in Washington is $5.14. The national average is $3.84. Iran isn't hurting us more. Iran is hurting us at the same level it is the rest of the country. But then we have all these more than a dollar per gallon in taxes. And then you've got the carbon fees and all of that. So if she really cared that you were paying a lot at the pump, she would speak out about the taxes. She'd speak out about the climate fees, but she hasn't said anything about that. And therefore, she cannot be taken seriously.
Well, if you think about it, JD is commenting on the 384 being obnoxious.
Right.
Where was she when our gas was in the threes and obnoxious still?
Right. And again, like, we can talk about both. I don't have an issue with that. Nobody likes when gas prices are high. I don't want people to have to not put food on their table because they're trying to pay for gas. So whether it's a Democrat policy that's doing it or a Republican policy that's doing it, we can be honest brokers about it. And I think that's what J.D. Vance is doing. First time I've ever seen that level of honesty about gas prices. But I just can't take people seriously when they pick and choose when to be angry about the cost of gasoline. I don't like the cost of gas right now in Washington. But I also know when I stand at the pump that Jay Inslee has more to do with that than President Donald Trump. All right, it is Thursday. I thought it was Friday. I really am losing track of days lately, and I feel like it's my old age.
It's pretty shocking how fast it goes.
I know. The weeks just fly by. It's already March 19th. Like, what in the world? Anyway, it is Thursday. That's when we get a dose of sanity and check in on what's happening in the Sunshine State. It is our segment, Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, hello.
Hello.
I sent you this funny headline and I'm like, no way. This is such a Florida headline. It was all over the place. It was like, Florida lawmakers don't pass bill that would have banned you from marrying your first cousin. And I'm like, man, I know it's in the South, but so yeah. I sent you that and you were looking into, you know, what happened with the bill. And it turns out that the headlines don't really reflect the full story.
Oh, they never do. Yeah. So this bill is packed full of all types of things. So in addition to, it's basically a Department of Health bill, and it covers a wide variety of things from how dental students would pay off their student loans to requirements for certain types of training procedures in universities regarding health programs. And then within there, it's to ban the marriage of first cousins.
First cousins, like any blood relatives, which you can't you can't legislate like that in Washington state and have something that has all these things that are really not related in a single bill. So what happened is the bill went through a lot of forms, different various forms and amendments. It passed in one chamber and the other chamber, but the session ended before it could get back to the chamber to sort of what we call reconciliation. So they don't want people to be able to marry their first cousin. They just didn't quite finish the job, which, how is it not already against the law to marry your first cousin?
There's 18 states that you can still marry your first cousin.
And you looked that up? Good for you.
I looked it up because it was shocking to me because I thought this was something that it was, you know, long gone from the days of, Habsburg job.
Right.
You know, but like 18 states, you can still marry your first cousin. And I even had looked and I can't remember exactly which president it was, but we had a president that was married to their first cousin.
What on earth?
And it's funny that this is in a Department of Health bill, meaning like they're well aware that this isn't good for, you know, genetic lines going forward to be married.
Anyway, you know, so yeah, that headline didn't quite sum it up. So thanks for getting to the bottom of it. So the Congress, Republicans in Congress are trying to pass a bill that essentially would say, look, if you're, you know, a naturalized citizen of this country and you defraud the government or the taxpayers, then you lose your citizenship. And for some reason, Democrats just hate that idea. But in Florida, they are kicking out a guy who defrauded the taxpayers with COVID funds.
Yeah. So this he's a Haitian born man that became a naturalized citizen of the United States. He, back in 2021, got charged with defrauding the COVID funds by $3.8 million. And so I think it was in 2022, He was charged with the crime 2023. He was sentenced to 50 months in federal prison. And then this past February, a judge revoked his citizenship.
Yeah, and he did have to go through like quite a lengthy process because revoking citizenship is a big deal. But yeah, I mean, he's only 25. And so it's like, you came into our country and immediately stole money from us. Like, you got to go. What is controversial about that? The Democrats, well, because their argument would be, well, you could defraud the government as an American citizen and they can't take your citizenship away. Well, yeah, but that's kind of the luck of the draw thing. Like, this person came into our country, agreed to do all these things and abide by our laws and all of this, and then immediately didn't. So that's like defrauding the process. So it's just insane the things that Democrats will side with, like, out of what? Some, like, I don't think it's love for immigrants. I think it's hate for Donald Trump.
It's hate for Donald Trump. It's hate for any opposition. And it doesn't matter how like logical the opposition is, they can't be seen in public siding with it. It's a little insane.
Wild. Speaking of Donald Trump, the Democrats aren't going to like this one. So there is a movement to name an airport after him in Florida.
Yeah, well, it's already moved through. So this basically is just on its way to DeSantis' desk to get signed, which I believe DeSantis will probably go ahead and sign that. The FAA also has to approve of the renaming of the Palm Beach Airport to the Donald Trump Airport. So there was opposition, of course, all the Democrats. I kind of went through reading some comments. Mm-hmm. And they were just talking about, oh, there's people starving and can't put food on their table and you want to rename an airport, as if they hadn't done a bunch of other things to help families save money. I like this. I think there's a lot of presidents that have airports named after him. He lives in Palm Beach. That's his primary residence. And I think it'd be an honor to have an airport down here named after him.
Yeah, so that's the airport that serves Mar-a-Lago, essentially, right? Like, that's where he flies in and out. So
exactly.
Yeah, all sorts of airports are named after presidents. I don't see it to be a big deal. Now, to the point Democrats are making about priorities, I do get mad sometimes in Washington State when they're pushing bills like banning octopus farming and, you know, naming a Washington State dinosaur or whatever, and we have, like, pressing issues that are being ignored. So it all comes down to, you know, what are we prioritizing? And are you letting something slide in favor of this other thing? Now, we just pointed out they didn't get to the bill that would have banned first cousins from marrying, and they did get to this. So, you know, maybe there is an issue of what are you prioritizing? But I don't know how much time they spent on it. If it was just something that sailed through, you know, no big deal. But yeah. I mean, wasted time on stuff does bother me sometimes. All right, Miranda.
I get that, but everybody wants a little feel-good stuff sometimes, too. So I think that these are kind of like little just, you know, feel-good stories
I
that know. Go through.
I used to just crap on the whole state dinosaur and state this, because, like, it would usually come from school kids, right? So school kids would try to name a state dinosaur, and then they'd bring it to their lawmakers. And I get it. There's a nice part about helping kids be part of the legislative process. And people would email me, Brandy, this is from my child or whatever it is. I'm like, okay, I'll try not to be too curmudgeonly. But all right, Miranda, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
And it was Franklin Roosevelt. He didn't marry his first cousin. He married his fifth cousin once removed, who was born Eleanor Roosevelt. So he married a Roosevelt, fifth cousin, once removed. So in 1905 in New York. All right, we'll get to our subscriber poll and comments from the live stream coming up next. First, our friend Dave Taylor at First Mark Insurance paid us a visit recently. And we talk a lot about personal insurance when we talk about First Mark Insurance, home, auto, all those things. But First Mark also does business insurance. I use First Mark for my business needs here on Undivided. And one of the nice things about having a local insurance company handle our business insurance is they know exactly how expensive it can be to do business in Washington State.
We're seeing the impact of just increased cost on businesses, like their increased cost for their, you know, their workers' comp, the L&I stuff, all the stuff they have to go through to maintain their business.
Yeah.
And then insurance, it just is one of those items that's increasing right along with it. The property values, you know, and rates for property insurance are going up. So, yeah, so it's tough on business owners for sure.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, if you go to some big company out of state to deal with your insurance, they might not have as intimate as an understanding about what your business is going through and the additional costs and really why it's important to look in every nook and cranny to find ways to save money. And First Mark Insurance is going to be able to help you do just that. We love First Mark. We use them for our personal insurance at home and also here on Undivided. So firstmarkinsurance.com. Take the First Mark challenge today and become one of many Undivided viewers and listeners who have saved money with First Mark. All right. Our Daily Show poll. I asked about this because one of the members of this cabal that's going to be pushing back against the initiative to protect girls' sports and parental rights is the ACLU of Washington. Ah, yes, the American Civil Liberties Union. I always like when I watch them. They're downtown on the corner trying to raise money. And I always just yell at them. I don't yell, but I say, if you weren't an arm of the Democratic Party, I'd give you money. So I asked you in our subscriber poll, do you trust the ACLU to stand up for your civil liberties? Nicole.
I would say no. Like you said, I think they've become very political. And on their website, it lists social, it has a whole tab for social justice.
Yeah.
Well, you should just be justice for all, not just social. That's not a thing.
Yeah, no, I remember looking at their top priorities and the things that they're interested in protecting. Right. And it's all like around gender ideology.
Yeah. And that's reproductive. Who they're fighting for right now is on gender things and on... they're protecting immigrants from ICE. They're getting ICE out of detention centers and keeping them in states. And on their front page right now, it has a warning to illegal immigrants trying to fly or undocumented immigrants flying. Like, beware.
Yeah, ICE isn't might it get about you. American civil liberties? So now it's right. about the civil liberties of people from other countries who aren't Americans. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting. This rarely happens, but on Patreon, 100% of people said no.
Oh,
that
wow.
rarely happens. 100% of people, not the case on Locals, about 5% of you on Locals said, yeah, I'm in there. Let's see. JP said, definitely not anymore. I used to donate money to them. Yeah, and at one point they took on even like a 2A issue. And so, you know, they were more so about civil liberties for all. But Gene says, not unless I decide to identify as transgender or a socialist. Yeah. If you identify as trans, they definitely are looking out for your civil liberties. They'll fight till the bitter end. Joan, no, I think protecting students from these pedophiles that are disguised as teachers is what should be the uppermost priority in all our minds. Rick said, I'm a white male. 50 years ago, maybe. Today, not so much. Robin says, absolutely not. I'm white, a Christian, conservative, pro-Israel, and I lean Republican. They are not looking out for my civil liberties. Junie says, I'm the wrong color. Ricardo, I'm a six-time loser. Straight, white, male, Christian, conservative, Republican.
Wow.
Yeah, they got it. They're going to crush your civil liberties. But that just shows you like that it used to be an institution that I think really did care about the actual meaning of civil liberties and for everyone. But now it's these like, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't look out for the civil liberties of sort of these minority groups of people like transgender individuals. I've said that transgender people are, first of all, obviously they're human beings. They're subject to, they get human dignity. And I've never said anything that would suggest that they should get unfair treatment, but rather than equal treatment, they want special treatment. So I'm fine with equal treatment for everyone, but what they've gotten into is special treatment. And I'm not okay with that for any group of people. All right, some comments from the live stream on our battle for truth, uphill battle for truth, 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 uphill battle for truth.
Uphill battle for truth.
Whitecastle, no child wants to face parents after making a mistake, but fessing up is an incredibly important lesson to learn. Yeah, I mean, your child, and I don't think that, like, you know, if your child is, first of all, they're being indoctrinated at school to believe they're trans. And so
that it's
the
even
school
a thing.
Is doing all of this. And then they say, and also don't tell your parents.
Right.
I mean, that's grooming. That's
that,
grooming behavior.
That it's a solution. I think they're being groomed and they're being told that it's a solution to their problems.
Right.
To just identify as a different gender.
And it never is. No. Michelle, Carly, liberals are political narcissists and psychopaths with an arrogant moral superiority shtick up their bums. So the WEA and NEA are the nests of liberal political narcissists. The savior complex drips off them, and liberal narcissists will stoop to any level to win and maintain or take back power and control. Lie, cheat, steal, manipulate. That is the liberal way. Wow. Fiery, fiery from Michelle Carley. Governor Ferguson, making it easy to lie on your birth certificate. Moon goddess, I need a minute to process all that much stupidity coming from these idiots. WEA is at a level of stupidity most never achieve in their entire lifetime.
The hypocrisy. They're making it easy to get a birth certificate when we're being told by Patty Murray that married women can't get birth certificates.
Can't do it. That's too hard. In Washington, they'll do it in 3 days as long as you want to change your gender.
Maybe we should connect the two. Maybe she hasn't talked to Bob in a while.
Yeah. Joshua, the only thing that gets built in blue states are quality leering centers. Rhonda, it takes years to fix the mess that's been created. On the bridges, Allison says, put it out for bid in the private sector and it will be done on time and on budget. As long as... But that's the thing is, like, if the private sector can take the job, but if they're being paid with taxpayer funds, we've seen those projects run over and over and over. On the energy requirements for selling your home, Papa Woody says, what happens when your property taxes go up and they revalue it to $1 million? Oh, are you talking about for millionaires? So the value of your property doesn't count toward the millionaire tax. I do want to be clear on that. Mm-hmm. Sergeant Pickles, mark my words, they will try to restrict people leaving so much that some will burn their homes down just to get out of it faster.
You know what I was thinking about this? They're charging you for these evaluations, right? Where I get every month, I think I get an evaluation from PSE telling me how my energy use is. Huh. So
just use that.
Why don't you just ask PSE?
Well, then they couldn't charge you.
Right.
They need to charge you.
$400, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Merwin Wren, your whole show should be called Unbelievable, not just a particular segment. That's How can true. People be so blind to what our... It should be called Unbelievable instead of Undivided. We might have to change the name. Matt M., oh man, Puyallup schools again? WTF. Necro Two Shoes, this needs to be investigated by the Secret Service. And again, I'm trying to get some closer up pictures of this art installation because there's some words on things like the nooses that I can't make out. And I want to see what's written on them. On Kent implying that Charlie Kirk said, don't let us go to war in Iran. Mm-hmm. Lolly Wilson says, just let Charlie rest in peace.
Please.
I know. All right. Good comments per the usual. And thank you, Nicole. Mm-hmm. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right. We already know what's happening and what's going to continue to happen in Washington state over the millionaires tax. Same thing that's happening in California with their threat to tax billionaires. And so you've got all this wealth fleeing from these places that vilify their wealth. Not a surprise. I said wealth. Why am I, what is with the TH coming out as an F today?
Are you thirsty? Maybe a dry mouth.
Hold on. Wealth. So New York Governor Kathy Hochul begging says, hey, rich people, we really need you to come back.
I need people who are high net worth to support the generous social programs that we want to have in our state. Right? Now, there are some patriotic millionaires who've stepped up.
It's patriotic.
Okay. Cut me the checks. I mean, just if you want to be supportive, but maybe the first step should be go down to Palm Beach and see who you can bring back home.
Yeah, I don't think they're coming back. Once they leave, they're gone. And I can just see Bob Ferguson shaming and begging millionaires to come on back when our revenue takes a nosedive. That has been today's edition of Sanity Check and today's episode of Undivided and our week of live shows. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for watching, for sharing our content, for liking our content. And a special thank you to our paid subscribers who make this show possible every single day. If you'd like to join them, you can go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. And you also become member of part of this great community online, our Patreon page especially, where we have most of our subscriber base. I just love to have all people in the chats, comments, going back and forth and sort of building a community of people with common sense. So undividedpod.com. Let's see. Sundays with subscribers. We're going to talk about battery storage systems. And I know that sounds nerdy, but these things are causing a whole hell of a lot of problems for communities
and I have
around us.
So many emails from our people.
So the best systems is going to be the subject of our Sunday show. Battery energy storage systems. The devil. See you then.